Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome into the Early Line, hour number two, right here on Sports Grid. I am Kevin Walsh. I'm joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside, and we're going to start to look at some of the early lines for week number three in the NFL, and we'll start with the two teams that were in action last night. The Green Bay Packers beat the Detroit Lions in a cover, 35-17. Game goes over the number. And now Green Bay is going to look to keep that momentum as they are going to be on Sunday Night Football out west against the San Francisco 49ers, getting 3.5 points right now, Donnie, a total of 48.5. What jumps out to you when you see this Sunday Night Football line?
Actually, and again, the last thing we watched, right, was Green Bay having a good performance as opposed to week one when it didn't have such a good performance. So I wanted to see where that line would settle in or open. I think it's a fair price here with Green Bay getting 3.5. Now, last time they went on the road, they got destroyed by the New Orleans Saints. But I don't think I'm looking at the same dominant football team for the 49ers that maybe we've seen that dominated, obviously, in the playoffs just a few years ago, the Green Bay Packers. You're down like 7 running backs, it seems, for the 49ers in this one. Jimmy Garoppolo is a good quarterback, but more of a game manager. It doesn't seem like that offense. I mean, obviously, the offense put away Detroit, but everybody's going to put away Detroit. Come into Philadelphia, you can argue that the 49ers should have lost that football game and didn't look particularly great on offense until, what, one drive with a 2-minute drill in the first half to cash in their first points of the half, or even the second half where they sort of took their foot off the gas saying, our defense is playing well, let's just ride this one out and see where it takes them. They won against the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia against their home opener. That is a credit here. But I'm sort of trying to take a look at saying, how can I get involved in the Green Bay Packers? Do I like what I saw last night? Sure I do. Is it a short week now to play after a Monday Night Football game and then go on the road? Yes, it is. But I like what I saw last night out of the Green Bay Packers, trying to find myself into taking a possible team total for the Packers if it ends up around that 21, 22-point range. That's what I'm interested in. But I always like to take a look at those games where the team ends up the night before and that fresh look the next day. I think it's a fair line here. But I have to say, I'm not running to the window right now looking to bet the 49ers in this one, Kevin.
It's really interesting, Donnie, when people talk about Monday Night Football playing Sunday as a short week. It is a shorter week, but it's never jumped off in the same way when a team is obviously playing, you know, on a Thursday night game. We had both the Baltimore Ravens and Vegas as our first, look, super short sample sizes here, but just keeping it in mind, the Raiders and the Ravens were week two dogs off Monday Night Football. Off an overtime game, both won outright, which I thought was interesting. Again, a limited sample size, still noteworthy to me. The other thing, though, when it comes to Rodgers is just the fact that he is 51-49 in his career on the road. And that's so bizarre to me. So, like, when you look at, you know, your Peyton Manning splits, your Tom Brady splits, these guys, I mean, look, they're obviously, you know, impeccable at home, but still on the road, legitimately winning records well, well above 500. I mean, we're talking about, Donnie, in his career, Aaron Rodgers, about a 500 quarterback on the road. I remember 2 seasons ago, they made a trip to San Fran. Last year, they obliterated San Fran Thursday Night Football. They were all banged up. They had, like, legitimately no skill position players because of COVID, and Nick Mullins was starting the game. But 2 years ago, Jimmy Garoppolo and this Niners team blasted Rodgers in San Francisco. Radio audience enters the fold. Appreciate all those listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside hanging out with you here on this Tuesday morning. Donnie, I'll ask you, because it kind of carries over even to the Ravens-Lions game, because that's who Detroit has on the docket week 3. Do you worry about Monday Night Football to Sunday as a shortened week for these teams?
A little bit. I do a little bit in that aspect. But also, like, you take a look at the total in this football game, right? Anywhere between, let's just see, the FanDuel Sportsbook has it listed at 48.5. I'll tell you, you look at last night and you say the Green Bay Packers, yeah, they put up 35 points. But then you take a look at Sunday's affair between the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers. It doesn't look like there would be a lot of home run plays in this game. And if it's any indicator that the Green Bay Packers are happy running the clock down to one and snapping the football and getting 60 plays in a game, that 48.5, even though the Green Bay Packers have a good offense, one of the best play callers in football is Kyle Shanahan on the 49ers. I just feel early in the week here, maybe a pick six for later, that if that line creeps up here and we stay at 48.5, 49, or maybe approach 50 as a possibility, I'm leaning under in this game here just the way I see the game flow going.
That's an interesting look there, early doors. Ravens Lions sees Baltimore as a 9.5-point road favorite here. Is this going to get to double digits when we're breaking this down on Friday? Also, the total jumps out 50.5 again. Both Lions games over. They've given up at least 35 points now through the first 2 weeks of the season. In what world is Baltimore not getting a 35 in this game?
That's so true. Like, a team total is going to be live. And even though you try to get those strike points, at least for myself, Kevin, try to shoot for something around 24 or below, they're going to be in the 30s, no doubt about it here as a team total. But can you go against it? It's Lamar Jackson in a dome on turf. What is his rushing prop? 149.5?
I mean, you would tend to believe that this is just going to be up and down. Because this is the thing. Even if you're like, hey, man, we're being harsh on the Lions. You played Green Bay. You played San Fran. It's Baltimore. Hey, they're like, the Jets aren't walking in to make this easier on this Lions defense. So that's the thing, man. Like, their team totals 30. You probably go over on a number like that. It's going to be a really interesting game. We'll talk about some more early lines next right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on the early line, talking about some early lines. It's kind of like in a movie when they say the title, besides the point here. No doubt about it, game of the week is going to be Rams-Bucks. This is, in my opinion, a matchup between the two best teams in the NFC. The Rams are minus 110 on the money line. The Bucks are minus 106. Call it a pick. You could lay 1.5 if you want. You could take 1.5 if you'd like. But this game is picked. High total of 55. Donnie, do you think this line closes with Tampa Bay as a road favorite when it's all said and done?
I think by the end, it's a really good chance. It really is here because you're taking a look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and what are most people going to say? Just look at the line right here on that box that we have, +1.5 for Tampa Bay. Fireworks go off in most people's heads, the common better. Wait a second now, Kevin. You're telling me I'm going to get Brady getting points in a football game? Sign me up anywhere, anytime. It doesn't matter who they actually play at this point, which I think it goes off. So I'm going to say beginning of the week, +1.5, minus 120 here. What would swing that over? Like, let's just say everybody comes in healthy here. They know they open that line. I think the majority of people would bet Tampa Bay enough to push that around a pick 'em here. Will Tampa Bay flip to a favorite? That might be a little bit of a taller tale to happen, but the initial lines and the line movement here, to me, it's more likely. How about we use that phrase, Kevin? More likely that this game ends up a pick or Tampa Bay being a favorite than, let's just say, go from 1.5 to 2.5 or higher for the Rams in this one, Kevin.
I think you're right. What does throw me off is, like, does this number need to work from 1.5 to 1 to pick? Because the money lines are pick. If you like the Rams and you lay 1.5 points, please stop. Don't do that. It's minus 110. It's 8 more cents. Do not lay 1.5 points. That's just, you know, just some legitimate, simple advice there. There's no reason to be doing that. You're not saving yourself any, and you're opening yourself up to what would be a catastrophic moment in the game. The interesting thing for me, Donnie, is that total of 55. See, my big hopes and dreams. It is a thing. You think you're like, oh, we'll catch them sleeping. No, you won't. Is that this? The narrative would be, yes, Stafford, Brady, but look at those defenses. The Bucs defense in the Super Bowl. Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. And that set a total, I don't know, 49 and a half, 50 even. And they were clearly not going to let that happen here. That is a strong 55 that they're posting in this game.
It really is. And let's take a look at the offenses here, because if you look last week, a depleted offense, or what would have been a depleted offense for the Indianapolis Colts, were able to move the football against the Rams and their all-world defense because they shut down the Chicago Bears on opening night. Now take a look at the Buccaneers. Say what you want here. Atlanta moved the football in that game. Dallas moved it at will. That secondary is a little bit leaky. There are weapons and great coordinators all over the place, including one of the best quarterbacks in football, Matthew Stafford, and the best quarterback of all time in Tom Brady. So I guess it would be warranted for a 55, because when you're looking for a competent effort out of both offenses, you are going to get that. Oh, yeah, we're on a fast track out there in L.A. in a dome on turf. Those are all added incentives here. But if I ask you this question today, take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook. We have the team totals up. Even though that line is 1.5 and 55, they're both the same. 27.5 as a team total here for the Rams, 27.5 as a team total for the Bucs. If I'm looking earlier in the week here of what I think I need to happen, I think the defense and what they can do on the Rams side, meaning that pushing the pocket on Tom Brady, an older quarterback, might have more of an effect as opposed to the pass rush from Tampa Bay on Matthew Stafford. So if I'm looking early in the week, if I had to pick one team here, Kevin, to get their team total, it might be the Rams for me over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, even though the Bucs have been dominant in weeks one and week two. But just looking at how the defenses profile match each other, maybe a slight lean to the team total for me from a Rams perspective here in week three.
And I think, again, I tend to agree. Or again, tomorrow we'll do some target props. The Stafford numbers are going to be fascinating. They're going to have to air it out against Tampa Bay. It is the only way to attack this defense. Plus, Darrell Henderson's probably not healthy here, so you're already going to be down a little bit in your backfield if he misses this football game. It feels like one where Stafford is going to have to air it out here for this team to be competitive and to move the ball against Tampa. No doubt about it. Game of the week. I cannot wait to watch that one. Another really interesting game here, Donnie. New England, New Orleans. The Pats 1-1 picked off Zach Wilson four times in that game against the Jets. Well, in comes Mr. Interception, who returned to his perfect form this past weekend with two picks against the Carolina Panthers here. The Pats are laying 3. The total's 43.5.
Fascinating game. Absolutely fascinating, because when you take a look at what New England did, it's almost the same carbon copy week one to week two. Let's wait out the Miami Dolphins. You should have beat them, but you fumbled heading in for either a touchdown or the game-winning field goal. You saw last week, and one of the first games I ran back, Kevin, and wanted to watch was the New York Jets and the New England Patriots. Because it was an exciting game? Absolutely not. But coming into it, I just said to myself, Bill Belichick, one of the best coaches of all time, any sport, maybe the best defensive coordinator in the history of the game, he's going to have a game plan devised for an underwhelming Jets offense, particularly with a rookie quarterback. And they just sat back and said, just let the kid beat himself. And then on the opposite side, we have a rookie quarterback in Mac Jones. Hey, Mac, just make the simple throws underneath. Keep the ball moving downfield. We'll get some turnovers. We'll kick field goals. We'll salt this game away, which is exactly what they did. But now, are we getting a comeback performance here for the New Orleans Saints? Fantastic week one. Horrendous week two, and now again going on the road to play the New England Patriots. This is the fact, though, which the NFL usually doesn't like to set teams up with three back-to-back road games, because technically they should have had a home game, which was a de facto road game week one in Jacksonville, went up to Carolina, and now to New England. That wears on a football team, and that was a disastrous performance against the Carolina Panthers, who maybe have a much better defense, Kevin, than we thought coming into the season. But this game just screams an under from both sides here. Completely non-explosive on offense, even through the first week. Because keep in mind, Jameis Winston, yes, threw 5 touchdowns, but threw for 155 yards or 154 yards in week one. He looked like a disaster last week. Alvin Kamara didn't have any functioning parts in that game, it seemed like. Handing the football, throwing the football, it didn't work. So now going into New England, where you see blood in the water on that offense for New Orleans, they're going to have a very good defensive presence here, being the New England Patriots. I can't figure this out spread-wise early on, but I just want to sell completely out on New Orleans this one, thinking they can't get to their team total around 20? That's going to be an interesting one to watch throughout the week, Kevin.
You know, when it comes to Sean Payton, I struggle to think that he will have that poor of a performance from his offense in consecutive weeks. But being on the road now, as you've said, for what will realistically be the third straight week does not help. And trying to get right against this New England Patriots defense that has held both of their opponents under their team total pregame, both of these teams, by the way, are 2-0 to the under on the season, is not an easy task. But something that I keep coming back to now with this Saints team after that performance against Carolina, and again, week two, right, is more overreactions because now you can kind of lock in things and you have more proof points there. But outside of Alvin Kamara, where do the Saints scare you? Michael Thomas is not there. And at the end of the day, I know people like to joke that Jameis is an upgrade over Drew Brees, but he's not because it's still Drew Brees. Now, when it's the 13th week of the season and Drew's arm was completely gone, maybe. But it's at least still the early returns. You'd rather have Drew Brees than Jameis Winston if you're being honest with yourself here. But also, this Saints defense was phenomenal in the opening week of the season. And against Carolina, for the most part, hung in there. They were not put in the greatest of positions, it felt like, by their offense in that game. Every single possession felt like a three and out. They were on the field constantly in this matchup here. 43.5, is every single Patriots game going to be the lowest total on the board and still not be low enough? It very well could be to start that season. Taking a break here. When we come back, I want to look at what the Colts line is with some of this Wentz lingering injury news. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wright signed a couple of verified individuals. You know what else is verified? At SportsGrid. At SportsGrid TV. Make sure you follow us on social media because we love you and you love us. And that's exactly then what you need to do to keep up with everything going on with the grid. All the latest information and betting advice that you need at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. I can't promise the follow backs on this Friday. I'll have to talk to the people behind the scenes. I know they've been flying left and right. But again, Donnie, you know how it is now. Verified, you got to be a little more selective here. It's a different life we live.
No, you certainly do. And I would never forget the day that those three accounts that you just mentioned actually were verified before me. Don't think I don't forget that out here, Kevin.
Priority. Option number one. Kaboom. And then they figured out DRS when they had enough time, as they should. We want to talk some Major League Baseball on today's show, but I still want to get to a couple of interesting early lines here for the Week 3 slate. And I want to start with the game between the Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts, because right now Tennessee is laying 5.5. The Colts are 0-2. The Titans just won against the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. Derrick Henry with a monster day. Over 200 total yards, 3 rushing touchdowns. What I'm trying to figure out, Donnie, is what does this line say about Carson Wentz and those double sprained ankles and his status for this football game?
It says we don't know enough right now to make an informed decision. The FanDuel Sportsbook, we opened up at 3.5 here in New Jersey and now sit at 5.5. And let me tell you something right here early in the week as we talk about this on a Tuesday. If word gets around that Wentz is not playing in this football game, this line is going to go to 7 or more because Jacob Eason is going to get his first NFL career start on the road to play Tennessee. That's not going to fare all that well here. So this is one of those where you're in like that holding pattern right now. If Wentz is announced that, hey, he has two obviously the two ankle sprains, but if he practices on Wednesday, Thursday, and is cleared to be good to go in the game, that 5.5 is probably going to get closer to a 4 number. If Carson Wentz looks hobbled and there's a chance that he's going to be a game time decision, that line is probably going to be on the move here as well. Over under, same thing, Kevin. We take a look here at the opening number at the FanDuel Sportsbook, 52.5. We now sit at 48.5. It's not because of weather concerns or conditions there. It's because we don't know if Carson Wentz is going to get to the starting gate. And maybe the offense for the Colts isn't as explosive. And maybe Frank Reich says, hey, I've got a young kid, a quarterback now. We're going to have to hand the football off, try to play defense, and slow this game down with a chance to beat our division rival on the road. This is a fascinating number that could be on the move with any which way this information comes out on Carson Wentz as the week moves on, Kevin.
One of the fun things, I use fun loosely, from the NBA season was doing this show and trying to read the early lines on, say, a Golden State Warriors game. Second leg of a back-to-back. Is Steph playing? Is Draymond playing? And you look at the number, you go, I think they're splitting the difference here. And I think they're splitting the difference on Wentz playing and not playing in this game. But where that is so tricky in the NFL compared to the NBA, and at the end of the day, no matter the sport, you want to get your best number. But we know in the NFL there are key numbers. The difference between laying 3.5 and 7 is gigantic in a game. And it doesn't surprise me if we get to a touchdown or above if it's Jacob Eason. And similarly, this number coming back strong, Indianapolis, if Carson Wentz is available. One more game I wanted to sneak in here, Donnie, because it's under comparable guidelines. All signs indicate Justin Fields starts for the Bears this weekend because I don't think Dalton is healthy enough, even though I love that Matt Nagy's like, you better believe Andy Dalton's my quarterback whenever that guy is 100% because it's all too funny. But this Bears plus 7.5 number, the reason it jumps out to me is because I think, and maybe I'm wrong, Donnie, but I feel like a lot of people are going to want to bet Justin Fields in his first career start.
And maybe because Justin Fields does start, so you get at least some emoticum of a quarterback that can maneuver out of the pocket. His first career start is going to come on the road against Cleveland. But also, Kevin, take a look at Cleveland from their side, right? Jarvis Landry probably not going to play this weekend. Odell Beckham looks like the radar, or should I say the arrow, is pointing upwards here for him playing. But how effective will he be? So are we going to lean on just a running game against a formidable Bears defense against the run? This game screams to be an under here. 46.5, I think, is a little bit overpriced here early in the week if Fields starts. Can Fields be electric? Yes. But you know what I like even more about this? 3rd-and-3, 3rd-and-4, 3rd-and-5. Instead of throwing the deep ball, he runs for 6 or 7 yards to pick up the first down. Run early on downs with Montgomery. Keep your quarterback safe in the pocket. Designed rollouts here. Throwing the ball, shorter, 10 to 15 yards downfield as opposed to 30 to 40 yards downfield. Try to stay within yourself in that offense and give yourself a chance for a legitimate victory here for the Bears. Do I think they can win this game? Probably not here. But can they stay within the number by keeping it a lower scoring game? Maybe so. But I have to tell you again, Kevin, rookie quarterbacks on the road in their first career start, I'm not really interested in signing up in that, but I might be interested in signing up on an under in this football game.
It makes a lot of sense. Justin Fields was horrible when he came into that game, and that Bears defense was tremendous for the length of that football game. So I could certainly see that being a legitimate play here. I just am very interested to see if this number works back towards Chicago because people are so high on Justin Fields. Maybe it won't because of how bad he looked filling in for Dalton in that game, but that is going to be a fun market to follow here for some of the week 3 early looks on this slate. Want to transition over to Major League Baseball here. Next segment, we'll give you a full preview of the MLB board here, get you set for some Tuesday action. But I want to take a look at some of the updated standings, and I want to start with Donnie's absolute favorite thing, and that is the NL West and who is going to avoid the wild card game between the Dodgers and the Giants. The Giants right now with a 1-game lead in the standing are minus 115 to win this division. The Dodgers are minus 105. This is a neck and neck race right now, Donnie. You look at the schedules the rest of the way, very, very comparable. The reality, though, is when you look at these team schedules, they're now favored in nearly every single game they play. down the stretch they come in the NL West.
Yep, still going to stick with the Dodgers here at this point here. Within one game with roughly, you know, week and a half, a little bit over a week and a half to go, I can't change my mind here since they're only down one game with so little games left. But I have to say, I do think there's a legitimate chance that the Dodgers do or are able to cross over and take care of the Giants. But having said that here, you're right, because the crux of the argument here is we're going to try to see who's the better team here. One has 97 wins, one has 96 wins. Both of these teams are going to win 100 games, and one team is going to end up in a one-game wild card. So we can see how hard they're fighting down the stretch. And remember when the San Francisco Giants, you know, clinched their playoff berth? Like, hey, usually, you know, the guys go out a night on the town and you put in all your backups the very next day because it doesn't matter. They probably didn't even go out for a glass of champagne, a bottle of beer or anything that night because they knew the real prize has to be winning that division. So you avoid that one game playoff scenario. It's wonderful to watch. It's amazing that it came down to this because I guess at the beginning of the season, Kevin, looking at the NOS, we thought it would be the Padres and the Dodgers fighting it out. Kudos to the Giants. I don't think anybody saw a 100-win baseball team coming this year, particularly in a pretty good division.
Very, very impressive. As you mentioned, the Padres here, it is very important to allow people to victory lap when they are as right as Donnie was about the San Diego Padres. September 10th is when this was all supposed to fall apart, and it absolutely has. They've won just twice since then, and remaining on the docket, 6 games against the Giants, 3 against the Dodgers, and 3 against the Braves. Donnie, the Padres are toast, just like you said.
Exactly. And we saw this one coming. And it's funny how things play out because usually it's like those hot takes that go to die relatively quickly here. What are you talking about, Donnie? They have a chance to. What are you telling me? The Phillies, the Cardinals, or the Reds, or somebody's going to jump them? They're a really good baseball team. Let's also put things in perspective here, Kevin, which is quite shocking as well. The Padres coming into the season, we thought they'd be a really good ball club. They have a lot of talent here. They are 20 and a half games outside the lead in the NOS. Think about that. That's usually reserved for the teams that lose 95, 100 games to be that far back. And it's amazing that the Padres, 20 and a half games back and only getting worse. The only question to me, Kevin, which I sort of put this out here as a funny flyer down the stretch, they started September the 10th, 9 games over 500. And I'm still under the guise, Kevin. They're going to finish under 500 in 2021, which before the season started and that nice start that they had in April and May, you would have thought, what are you, crazy? You're under 500. This team might even win the division, let alone, you know, make the playoffs in a wild card. They could be under 500. We'll see the offseason that the Padres have, Kevin, if that sort of collapse happens. The manager, the players, how does everything fit in? Because this is one of those teams that normally is very shrewd on their budget and their payroll, saying, let's dip our toes into the deep end here and see what happens. Boy, that's not a good look here for that front office when ownership says, go ahead and spend money, and this is our result.
Also, folks, this is how it's done. See, I put Donnie up. Great job, Donnie. You were right.
Yeah.
OKW is right, too. Look at the St. Louis Cardinals. 3-game lead in the NL wild card. The schedule was there, and now the results have followed. But the crazy part about this Cardinals team, who are now on a 9-game winning streak here and have actually won 11 of their last 12, they're beating the Brewers, swept the Padres, swept the Mets, the Reds, the Dodgers. What looked like it was going to be the difficult part of the schedule is when they've been playing their best baseball. 85-1 to win the NL just a couple days ago. We're coming on back, more baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid, time to preview the Major League Baseball board. Quickly want to just acknowledge where these AL wild card standings look right now. The three division winners all seemingly are locked in. The Rays up 7, the White Sox up 11.5, and the Astros up 7 this late into the season. That all looks secure. But the race for the final two spots in the American League is just so, so tight. Boston, Toronto, New York, Oakland, and I would even throw Seattle all live as they come down the stretch here, Donnie.
Yeah, could the AL East here, Kevin, get four teams into the postseason? Because the Red Sox with that game and a half lead here in the wild card up on Toronto. Then Toronto has just a half game lead now over the New York Yankees. Oakland, you know, going to have to jump, obviously, the Yankees or the Toronto Blue Jays to get in. Same thing with the Seattle Mariners. But when you do play the Seattle Mariners and the Oakland Athletics head-to-head, it's a de facto, you know, cancellation of a series. So if you're the Yankees or Toronto Blue Jays, you like the fact. You don't want one team to sweep in there. Just want each team to beat each other and not really gain much ground. But it's interesting to see here the AL East being Kings, because Toronto already stamping their ticket into the postseason. But now you look at a legitimate chance here to get two more teams in. And which teams will it be here, Kevin? I know you're rooting on the Yankees in this fight here. The Toronto Blue Jays still staying hot, finally lost a game, and yes, to the Rays. But we look at schedules coming down the stretch. These teams get to play each other. It's great that Major League Baseball doesn't say, hey, you know what? Play the bottom feeders here. They're going to line up these teams in the late season here in September. It'll be fun to watch to see how it plays out.
I agree, and I think that what they should do is also change the Toronto schedule. They've got 7 games left between Minnesota and Baltimore. That's not exciting. Make them play the White Sox and the Astros and the Rays instead of bad teams. They're absolutely going to make the playoffs. The Yankees are going to miss the playoffs. It's the Yankees' own fault. The worst record in the American League next to Baltimore. Unbelievable stuff from the New York Yankees. It's their own fault, though. It is what it is. Let's preview some of the games on today's slate. Toronto is a slight dog in Tampa Bay here. Ooh, man, it's been a while since we previewed a baseball board. Feels good here, Donnie. Total right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook is an 8. Tampa won last night. Can they win again here against the Blue Jays?
Yeah, possibility here, because when you're taking a look at both of these lineups, you know, one profile is a little bit better than the other one. So if we take a look at the Toronto hitters going up against Rasmussen, who's been very good, Kevin, over the past 30 days here, 35 batters he's faced from the left-hand side, 38 batters from the right-hand side. Keep in mind, Rasmussen is a right-handed pitcher. He's got a 270 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 118 versus lefties. That's a great job here. How about righties? 205 at a .056 ISO power number. Fantastic as well. Elevated slightly here on his xFIP numbers at a 4.31. Doesn't strike out a lot of batters, but you get a pretty good lineup here each and every night, and a lot of power in that lineup for the Toronto Blue Jays. Let's take a look at the last month of what they've been doing versus right-handed pitching. And if we just isolate those power numbers and also bringing up a K percentage here, which is fascinating as well. Simeon, 364. Guerrero, 292. Hernandez, 203. Gurriel, 270. Valera, 286. And Danny Jansen at a 524 ISO power number. Those numbers look great, but check this out. Rasmussen, we'll see how long he goes. We know Tampa Bay doesn't really let their pitchers or like their pitchers to go 3 times through the lineup, so maybe he gets in, what, 4 or 5 innings in this one. Look at the K percentages against right-handed pitching here for Toronto. As I said, a lot of power in that lineup, which usually means, Kevin, a lot of strikeouts. Not the case here. Over the past month, Springer, 13%, 11%, Simeon, Guerrero, 10%, Bichette, 14%, Gurriel, 12%, Valera, 12%, Jansen, 8%. A lot of balls in play here, which bodes well. Tampa Bay on the road, looking to bounce back here and keep themselves in the race. Legitimate chance they can win. This is a playoff atmosphere in this one, Kevin, because Manoah's going to be on the mound. Mm-hmm. He actually has very good splits between lefties and righties. The only issue I have with that is a 5.05 xFIP number. Can this lineup wake up, which they're going to stack a lot of lefties on Tampa Bay? Should be a good one down at the Trop tonight.
This is going to be Manoah's 4th start against Tampa Bay. In the first 3 starts, 10 strikeouts, 9 strikeouts, 10 strikeouts. His over-under for strikeouts today is 6.5 at plus money, something that he has done with ease in the first 3 outings against this Tampa Bay team. Another monster tilt in terms of this AL wildcard race is going to be Oakland versus Seattle. Seattle came back last night and stomped an Oakland winning streak at 5 games. The A's will look to start a fresh one as -134 favorites right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook against Marco Gonzalez. The total checks in at 9.
You know, it's wild because we take a look at the pitchers in this baseball game, which don't fare very well against major league competition. Take a look at Marco Gonzalez here, the lefty, over the past month, Kevin. An xFIP of 6.30. You want this below 4 to be in that average range. Mm-hmm. He's at a 6.13. That is devastatingly bad here. So we take a look at the over 8.5. So immediately you're like, you think that would be in play because we flip it over to Blackburn on the opposite side for Oakland. And over his last month, not great here. An xFIP of 4.41. Weighted on base percentage of lefties and righties is elevated. The crux of the argument here, though, Kevin, is it's a playoff atmosphere. Two decent bullpens here. 8.5 is a total, which means you need 9 in order to win this one. I still lean under even with those pitchers. Why is that? Let's take a look at the Oakland lineup here. You know, going up against a lefty. Gonzalez, not a great pitcher, but the way they profile against lefties over the past month hasn't been that good. You know, Harrison, who's going to lead off tonight or anticipated to lead off, a 389 weighted on base percentage. That's the best of the group, which also includes Canha, 236, Pinder, 281, Davis, 327, Murphy, 303, Andrews, 216, Marte and Olsen, both at 324, which is average. Doesn't look that great. And again, as we like to say, out in Oakland, cooler temperatures, pitcher's ballpark. Flip it over to the opposite side here with Seattle going up against Blackburn. Should they hit? Absolutely. But look at the lineup here. It's going to be stacked with left-handed batters, which is exactly what you want to go against Blackburn, who is a righty, but not a lot of good performances here over the past 30 days versus right-handed pitching. Crawford at 295, Haniger 264, Toro 294, Kelenic 315, Fraley 312, Bowers 305, Rally 152. I'm leaning towards the under in this game in a playoff atmosphere, Kevin.
That is going to be interesting. I also wanted to bring up Paul Blackburn's strikeout prop. It's 3.5 plus 154 over. When we were ripping K-props every day, the plus money chances always were appetizing. He has 6 starts this season. He has finished at exactly 3 strikeouts in 4 of the 6. The one game he got over was against these Mariners where he pulled off 5. Again, plus money shots in these strikeout props, it gives you a little bit more wiggle room and margin for error where these numbers can finish so close. As you've seen again, Blackburn has been able to get to that 3 mark in a whole bunch of his starts. Looking at some other interesting games today on this slate, Donnie, the Brewers and the Cardinals. How do we not bring this one up? And boy, what a number here. The Milwaukee Brewers, minus 225 to stop a 9-game winning streak.
Yeah, and I guess you put your ace on the bump here, Woodruff. Take a look at the last 30 days, Kevin. An xFIP of 2.37. We just got done talking about pitchers in the 6s and the 5s and the 4s. This is one of the elite pitchers in baseball. Yeah. So a little bit of a different microcosm from the previous pitchers that we had. A K rate, 32% of the batters he's faced over the past 30 days, he has struck them out. A walk rate, only 5%, which is very low. And take a look at this here. From a power perspective or weighted on base perspective, lefties, a 311 weighted on base percentage, which is lower than the 325, which is roughly the Major League Baseball average. Look at righties at a 274. So you take a look at the offense here. It doesn't set up all that well, but you're right. Sometimes you got to ride the hot hand here with St. Louis. Now, yesterday, bumping Woodford, I believe, back to today at a 5.33 xFIP. This one's going to be tough, but sometimes when we take a look at numbers and why they make sense, Kevin, and sometimes why they don't make sense, an xFIP number of 5.33, you should be getting hit around in your last month here. Doesn't strike out a lot of batters being Woodford and also walks a little bit too many. But look at his weighted on base percentages here. Woodford is a righty compared to the splits between the lefties and the righties. A 245 the lefties and a 218 the righties. How about the power numbers here? 0.048 to lefties and to righties, 0.042. Something has to give in this game. But at the same time, do you want to lay that big number? There was a big number out there yesterday on the Brewers. They weren't able to get the victory. The Brewers are in the playoffs. The Cardinals are looking to get into the playoffs. Maybe that factors into, I want to fade, obviously one of the better pitchers in baseball for Milwaukee. Not necessarily, but that is a high price here. Maybe you just ride the hot hand on the Cardinals in this one.
The thing is, when you're like, oh, St. Louis can't win again. When you're getting in front of a streak, you shouldn't be paying above $2 to do so. It's just a huge, huge number there on the Milwaukee Brewers against a St. Louis team that is absolutely smoking hot right now. Donnie, let me ask you here, when you look through this full Tuesday board, I know Tuesdays always are plentiful of options on a baseball card. What jumps out to you for some potential circle plays?
A bad baseball team jumps out to me tonight. Yesterday, the only play I liked in Major League Baseball was the Atlanta Braves team total over 4.5. They smashed it. And you know what happened during midday, Kevin, which we haven't saw you know, from May, June, July, and August. Some of these ballparks in the heat and humidity, keeping the roofs closed to keep the fans comfortable. Now you head into the back end of September, some of these roofs are being opened. Case in point, yesterday, Arizona's roof was open. I got 9 at-bats against a bad pitcher and a bad bullpen. Sign me up on the Braves. And keep in mind, I am a Phillies fan rooting against the Braves nightly. But when money is to be made, you have to throw your fandom out the window and cash those tickets. Now let's take a look tonight. Maybe I can root a little bit against the Braves. Toussaint's going to be on the mound for the Atlanta Braves tonight. A 5.77 xFIP number over the past 30 days. Doesn't strike out a lot, walks way too many. But how about this one, Kevin? That equal opportunity that we talk about to be able to damage a pitcher on the mound. Look at this between Toussaint. He is a right-handed pitcher. Over the past month, a 365 weighted on base average to lefties, which includes a 292 ISO power number. How about righties? 401 as a weighted on base percentage, ISO power number of 205. Now, usually you don't want to take a dead in the water team, but keep in mind, the batters aren't just mailing it in. They get paid on their statistics. They will give you honest at-bats each and every night. And we're going to get a lot of left-handed batters in the lineup tonight. Toussaint's a righty. Rojas, Marte, Peralta, Calhoun, Varsho, Smith, and Van Meter. 7 out of the eligible batters in a National League ballpark are going to be from the left-hand side out of 8. That's incredible. But also take a look at the ISO power numbers matched up with the weighted on base percentages here. Marte, a 193 ISO power. Peralta, 214. Calhoun, 500. Varsho, 340. Walker, 208. Smith, 182. And how about the weighted on base percentages for those same guys? 350, 396, 523, 371, 364. You have a chance to touch up Toussaint in this one. Do I think Atlanta probably wins this game? Rightfully so. But if I'm looking for a total in the game, I like it. But particularly an Arizona team total here makes a lot of sense for me. And as long as we get the confirmation that that roof is open, heat and humidity, ball travels farther. Sign me up on those Diamondbacks.
That is always interesting. I like that they're opening the roof. I remember, you know, Donnie in the heat of the summer calling these ballparks personally. Excuse me, is that window open? Yeah. What's the deal there? We're letting that ball fly out. I also have to bring this up quickly. The Philadelphia Phillies, in the dead heat of a legitimate race to either make the wild card spot or to win a division, play the Baltimore Orioles and get shut out by the Baltimore Orioles. Now, I don't know how you... It's the fourth time this season. There's 162 games in a season, okay? It is the fourth time that they have shut a team out, the first time since July 18th. We talk about Donnie, I don't care who's pitching. The Phillies have to hit tonight. They must, right?
Yeah, they must. But I guess they have a better chance of hitting against like the Dodgers or the Giants, because when you play down to your competition, which the Phillies do every night, they should sweep Baltimore. We're lucky Baltimore doesn't sweep the Phillies, Kevin. How about that?
What a wild team the Phils are. Up next here on the early line, Ariel joins Donnie to let you know what's coming up on the morning after.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Segment of the day for the early line for a Tuesday. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh carrying you through 7 to 9 a.m., setting the table for the morning after right here on the Sports Grid Network with Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens. What a weekend for Ariel Epstein. So they're down there in Baltimore. An epic performance by those Baltimore Ravens. What a way to start the week. Hello, Ariel Epstein.
Hello, Donnie Wrightside. It was an amazing way to start the week. It's crazy because yesterday I did actually end up taking the day off. It was just too much. I had back-to-back primetime games that I was dealing with. I needed to go see a therapist yesterday. It felt like a Sunday night because I didn't work. However, it's a 1-1 Ravens team now. I was so pumped up after Sunday night's game. Words can't even express how crazy that game was and how much I loved the fans at M&T Bank Stadium.
It looked like a great time down there. I saw they had a nice little Omar tribute before the game with the Farmer and the Dell whistle. Sensational stuff. What a day to set off the program. But also, we got to look at last night here. Maybe an R-E-L-A-X for the Green Bay Packers, quote-unquote, trolls, as Aaron Rodgers says, as they right the ship yesterday, 35-17, an easy victory on Monday night for those Packers.
Yeah, easy victory. It started out looking as if the Lions could cover another spread, yet it just couldn't come together for them in the second half. Aaron Rodgers able to drive his offense to 35 points. The game goes over the total, Donnie, which I did see the number moved up a little bit. It went from 48.5 to 49.5 right before kickoff. As for the spread, it did move against Green Bay right before kick. It was 12.5 most of the week, goes down to 11.5. Reverse line movement really didn't matter in yesterday's game.
Yep, into the NFL we go. Week 3 already on deck for us, a Thursday night football game, which is on. Deshaun Watson will not be participating in, but also Major League Baseball still heading down the stretch area with a couple teams here in the AL East fighting for positioning. What are we talking about this morning on the morning after here? Any good guests?
We are going to have great guests on the morning after this morning. We are going to start things off with Connor O'Gara, who does cover a lot of college football.
All right, stay tuned to the morning after.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.